Some of you may be our Turlock family, friends, and community. Some of you may be our new Panama friends and community. Others may be from somewhere else in the world. To all of you, we're really glad you're here and thank you for listening. We hope this show brings you a smile, some new knowledge, or just a good time. When we lived in Turlock, we created Nourish Farm, a small regenerative farm that offered fresh produce and herbs, flowers, lamb meat, natural skin care, botanical products, community events, workshops, women's circles, and a few other things here and there. It was very hard to leave that all behind when we moved to Panama. Our dream is to recreate, in a way, a new but similar version of our Turlock farm here in Panama, with a lot more space to do what we want to do with land and livestock. As you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, we are working on building our farm down here and have many goals and dreams for it. I hope to start up women's circles here, host community events. We plan on raising lots of healthy, happy animals, producing milk and meat, creating botanical products with local plants, and so much more. I currently have some offerings back on the market for local Panama folks, as well as virtual offerings for those that don't live near me. Included in my offerings are some beautiful downloadable ebooks, including a relaunch of my Nourishing Freezer Meal recipe book and Postpartum Meal Planning Guide. Nourish Your Skin, a recipe book and guide for all my favorite natural skincare products. A new family recipe book coming out very soon. A 2-hour postpartum planning call where I help you plan for the blissful and healing postpartum of your dreams. As well as some botanical products for local Panama folks, tinctures, herbal teas, blends, and more. Visit our website at nourishfarmpanama.com. See the show notes for links. Make sure to stay up to date with us on our Instagram at nourishfarmpanama. We'll see you next season in season 3. And now, enjoy today's episode. Bienvenidos, welcome, and thank you for joining us for Season 2, Episode 13 of the Pana Familia Podcast with Eduardo and Nicole, where we discuss our experience relocating to and raising our 3 young children here in Panama, share our journey of building our new farm and home here in Central America, and let you know what we're learning along the way. We're glad you're here. Vaminos! Here with what I think is going to be the final episode of season 2. We're going to record one more episode tonight and then take a break while we hunker down and try and get our dome finished. And then we will make a commitment to, well, we won't start season 3 until we're in our dome and we'll record it from the dome. Dome.
The dome.
Right? Season 3, episode 1, Dome Life.
You can tell us how different it sounds when we record in the dome compared to the apartment or outside.
In the pouring rain.
In the pouring rain.
Yeah.
I don't know when we get start getting residuals for this podcast.
Residuals?
Like what season? Season 5? When do we get syndicated? When do we get syndicated?
I don't know. You can ask Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're hoping to hit syndication one day. That way we can live off the residual checks.
If only.
Yeah. But today we're going to talk about 5 reasons why you should move to Chiriqui, Panama. Chiriqui is a province that we live in right now. It is the province farthest away from Panama City. It's basically the end of the country on the eastern Pacific, side.
Yeah.
On the eastern Pacific side, because mm-hmm. of the way, it took me a while to figure it out, but the way Panama is
situated,
it's east-west completely. There's, yeah. And then the way that Pan American runs too, it's all east-west, not north-south. You know, in California, everything's north-south. Everything's based off the 99 and the 1 and the 5. But why don't we let Nicole... These are not like... We're not ranking them 5 through 1. We're going to just say 5 reasons.
Yeah, 5 reasons. We thought up 5 reasons why you would want to move or you should move to Chiriqui, Panama. Specifically this province. Yeah, not just the country of Panama. Based on our... opinions, I guess,
and we've been here for a year now, so we're experts.
What we've seen, yeah,
we're experts.
So compared to other provinces, we feel like this province has the most diversity as far as places to go and things to see. So you've got the gorgeous Pacific beaches, you've got the quote-unquote big city of David, which is, you know, not a massive like New York City, but it's a big city for here, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But then you've got like the small pueblos, the cool little communities, and you've got the highlands, you've got the beautiful mountains with the cooler weather, and all of that is all just within, you know, depending where you live, a couple hours. So if you live up in the highlands, you know, it's an hour, maybe two, to the beach. If you live by the beach like us, it's an hour, maybe two, back to the highlands. So you kind of get it all. You could, like, if you want to live by the beach but visit the mountains regularly, you could do that. If you want to live in the mountains but visit the beach regularly, you could do that. There's just a lot of options here, and in my opinion, it's so beautiful. It's a lot. There's more precipitation here. It gets a lot greener here. Doesn't get as dry in the dry season, and just, yeah, it's just beautiful. Anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, we got waterfalls in the highlands, and then we got the beaches, and like Nicole said, like, just depending where you live. I mean, for us, we can be to Boquete, which is one of the highlands, in an hour and 15 minutes. We have one of the only national parks here that we share with Costa Rica, Parque La Amistad Nacional. We haven't been to it yet, but been wanting to.
That goes all the way to Costa Rica?
Yeah, it's like goes up.
It starts by David?
No, it starts in Cerro Punta.
But I thought we saw it the other day when we were driving.
Maybe we saw a sign for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's all the way up in Cerro
Punta. Oh, okay. So it's not over here.
Uh-oh. Yeah. And then, like, yeah, there's just a lot of small, cool little pueblos, you know, up in the mountains and down here by the beach, and just kind of a lot to explore.
Number two
is the city of David. The one of our friends that we met down here said it, told us a funny quote once that I always say. It's like, nothing doing David but sweat.
Oh.
And that is true. It is very hot there because it is a city. So there's a lot of concrete, a lot of cars.
And like a jungle. Like they tore the jungle down and built a city, right?
So yeah.
It still has that jungle feel, but it
still has that jungle humidity, but it's just like hotter because of just like so much action. But as much as we kind of make fun of that town, because, you know, it's just like a city. There's nothing really charming about it, but there is a lot of amenities there that make life so much easier.
Yeah.
And everyone in the Chiriqui province is like within an hour to an hour and a half away to be.
Mm-hmm. It's like centrally located. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got all your big grocery stores there, your amenities, your hardware stores, your services like lawyers and hospitals, and
yeah,
all
sorts of different kinds of restaurants.
Different, too. Lots of restaurants,
carnicerias,
and yeah, everything. We found a lot of like, we found a place that just sells pork meat that we just fell in love with to cook at the house. We might have a scoop on a carniceria pretty soon.
Another one?
Oh, wait. No, we already found one. Corte Argentina. Another one.
We found a place that sells the really good flour that I used to make all my bread. Like, just niche things that, like, you wouldn't think you could find here. You can find there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've found...
And then what's the biggest thing? You didn't say it yet.
Oh, the biggest thing is the airport.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, especially for me, since I fly a lot, I really think about it. Because if you live outside of Panama City, somewhere in the middle, like Veraguas or Chitre or whatever those provinces are called, you're like 3 to 4 hours from the Panama City airport because of the traffic getting in. Whereas if you live in David, you have a you can basically get to your flight an hour before because there's only two
flights. No, if you live in Chiriqui.
If you live in Chiriqui.
Yeah, you don't have to live in David.
If you live in Chiriqui, you can go to David and just, it's a very mellow airport. And you can be to Panama City and connect to go wherever you want to go, you know, for us, the States, within an hour. It's like you spend more time on the runway than you do flying. It's like a 40-minute flight.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's so easy to get in and out of the airport. You can park. It's a tiny little parking lot, but there's always space. And then you just walk right in and, it's so easy to just get in and out. Every time we have picked up people there, you know, you just stand right there where they walk out and see them and pull your car up to the front, and there's not a ton of traffic, and it's like an hour from our house.
Yeah. And then, like, because there's only flights going to Panama City, the only people that are at the airport are people that are either picking up or the people that are going to go on the next plane. Mm-hmm. So, like, you don't have to get there like 3 hours before your flight. Like we get there like just an hour before my flights, and you just get your ticket and you can go through security, and it's very smooth. And
if we don't go to David, we're driving at least 6 hours
to Panama City,
to Panama City Airport, including, you know, the traffic and the confusion once you get to Panama City. I mean, David's
super easy to navigate.
Easy to get around compared to, oh my gosh.
And then once you're in David flying back, you know, you're within an hour of like where you want to be. I mean, we're an hour away from the airport. If you're in Boquete, you're like 45 minutes away. If you're up in Tierras Altas, you're maybe an hour away too. It's just like you're just a very nicely located airport. There in David.
Yeah. Another reason is there's most of the agriculture for the country is here. So, not in like a overly like, oh, you can't like breathe or drink the water from the rivers because of agriculture, because it's not like at that level, but, there's so much like fresh produce grown up here. There's amazing coffee farms. There's dairy products and the people on their horses riding around. You see the cattle everywhere. It's really pretty to see that too. It's nice to see. I mean, I know a lot of, well, I mean, I'm not really a fan of it either. There's a lot of deforestation because of cattle and stuff, but when there's people living somewhere, you know, you have to like feed them and raise some animals and stuff. But just seeing all the cattle out on grass, and here you need cattle to keep the grass down or else it'll just be out of control. Yeah. But yeah, it's really pretty to see that. And, it's nice to have access to that around here. And for Eddie's job working with dairies, I know that, you know, going forward into the future, it's going to be a good place for us to live as far as for him to have contacts with some of these dairies. But, there's a lot of smaller, like, coffee farms and dairies and little farms that are like dotted throughout the highlands and going up outside of David and stuff that are trying to do things, you know, more sustainably and regeneratively. And that's really cool. And I hope to see that happening more up here also, and kind of that mentality spreading. But it is cool to be in a place that is kind of agriculturally heavy, just because I'd rather have that than like, you know, tons of giant shopping malls and all sorts of buildings and skyscrapers and stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, just kind of goes back to the diversity. So much different types of food are grown here. I was kind of thinking about it while you're talking, that like it's kind of crazy. Like, you know, Boquete is full of coffee, the geisha coffee, like one of the best coffees in the world. And then on the other side of the volcano, on the other side of the highlands, you get all the produce, the potatoes, the tomatoes, the peppers. Mm-hmm. What else is grown up there? They try to grow strawberries up there.
Yeah, just all sorts of vegetables, vegetable crops, stuff like
onions, onions and stuff like that. But then when you come down here to the coast, you got all the rice fields and
sugar cane
and mangoes. And then we haven't even gone to Puerto Morelos, but a lot of bananas come from over there, or guineos as they call them.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's just so much different types of food grown here. And like, when you're over here on the Pan American, you notice when you're driving back, you know, for us, when we're driving back to Las Lajas, you know, we're driving in the direction of Panama City, and you'll always see like trucks full of like whatever they're
Headed that way.
Pineapples. Like, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's another thing we grow here. I forgot pineapples.
Yeah.
Like it just you don't realize like, oh, all the food literally comes from like up here.
Yeah.
You know, a big majority of it.
It's like the California of Panama.
Yeah, no, that's kind of like the best way to, like, they even like, sometimes they joke about like six, like they think they're their own country, or they want to become their own country.
Yeah, just like California.
Yeah, just, but yeah, it's just like, and it goes back to the diversity of just like the microclimates it has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another reason is it's not overly populated outside of David, which is very, you know,
densely populated
around the city. I mean, there's a lot of jobs there. That's why obviously a lot of people live there. And then Boquete, and I don't know, I can't really think of any other busy town. Yeah, I mean, Volcan isn't
super busy.
I don't know where else, if we're missing somewhere else, but...
And I don't even think Boquete only feels busy because I think a lot of people are visiting.
Yeah, it's a tourist stop for sure. There's a lot of cool things to see there, and hotels and hostels and stuff. And it's just, like we said, it's kind of just, like, small. So, like, everything's just on, like, these, like, three streets, kind of. And then outside of that, it's...
So that's why I always think it's more of, like, people that are just, like, visiting than it is people. Because, like...
So anyways, as a province, it's not overly populated. I mean, when you... there's times when we'll drive an hour and, I mean, we'll pass, like, you know, such a small amount of cars. Like, there's never, ever traffic. There's never, never... I mean, most of the time we're driving by ourselves. We'll pass semi-trucks, like, random cars here and there. The only time it's ever even really busy in David is like the weekends, or if we go like end of, you know, like closer to like 3 or 4 when everyone's getting off work and stuff. But like even there, it's like not that hard to, we're not sitting in stop and go traffic in David.
There's like one spot where it gets really busy, but it doesn't really,
and like, it's just more about how the roads are made.
Right? And you're only there for like a minute. It's just because it's like very like, oh, gotta go.
And
it's,
you're just not used to it here. Cause like, I mean, in our town, obviously, like there's no one.
Yeah.
Like,
but whenever... there's, yeah, I think it's more because like Nicole said, like how the roads are built, they're not very
efficient.
But like, yeah, you're never in a stop and go. I mean, we've only been stop and go traffic in Panama City.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. So.
Sometimes you appreciate that because it gives you more time to think.
Of like where you need to turn, yes. So there's space, there's land, there's people that want to sell their land or their house. There's options and just a lot of potential for, you know, like more affordable land and houses. There are definitely places in Panama where homes and land, or lots, I guess, are more pricey, and that isn't really the case here.
I mean, outside of Boquete, that's about it.
Yeah, it's just, and all you have to do is go like, you know, 20 minutes outside of Boquete, and it's,
and a lot of it, we're coming, I mean, we're looking at the eyes of a Californian, so it looks affordable to us.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of land over the past few years between here and Costa Rica and other places we looked online, other countries, and like we just felt like we got a really good deal here. And a lot of it is because there is a lot of open land here.
Yeah, and here there's potential to like buy from like someone local who's interested in selling versus like just buying from like some
developer or speculator.
Yeah, someone who bought land 10 years ago, some investor who wants to sell it, you know?
Yeah, that's how it was in Costa Rica. Literally everything was like...
Yeah, but it's nice to like if a local person does want to sell and make a, you know, pile of money... Or I'd rather give it to them than like some, you know, rich old guy who just bought it 15 years ago and changed. and is like selling it for way more than it's worth, you know, and like all of Panama really is like a buyer's market. I mean, stuff sits on the market for years. So like if someone really wants to sell, you have the upper hand as the buyer. But, I think here there's more potential for like finding local realtors and like local deals.
Yeah, you know? We worked with we bought a property from a local Panamanian and we were very specific what we wanted, and you know, they were pretty, you know, straightforward with us, this is what we want. We looked at the price and
who was straightforward with us? What are you saying?
The lady sold us the property, like what she wanted.
The realtor?
No, the
Oh, the owner.
The owner.
Okay. She's like, this is how much I want.
Yeah, and
yeah, and like we're not gonna like go back and forth like, oh, we'll offer you this. Like we just offer.
Yeah, and then we looked at so much other property in Panama, like, oh, this is a great deal, like compared to what we've seen.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just a lot of open land. I mean, we see it when we drive around all the time. We see signs, finca for sale, casa.
Mm-hmm. And I think to go along with that, like if you're someone who is like wanting to, well, you know, like create like a business here or start something up, there's potential for that, like too, because a lot of these smaller towns, like they need some more businesses and stuff, services, you know, and services. And so, like, you know, our dream eventually is to open, like, a cafe and a farm store. And not anything that would, like, step on anyone's toes that already has something going on here, but something that, like, this town doesn't have. That, like,
that we would want.
Yeah, that we want and that we hope that other people here would want. And so there's potential for that, you know, for, you know, growth and... And not like a crazy way, but just in like a sweet, like cool community way.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of open land. When you drive around, you're just like, you know, I've been doing these trips for my work and stuff like that. Or even when we went back to California, and I just every single time I come back, I tell Nicole the same thing. It's like, we don't live by a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
And
you get used to it, like. And then you're, like, surprised. Like, it's just so quiet and calm. And, you know, yes, there's people around, but, like, it's just, it's so different.
Yeah, it's so quiet. It's so, like, it's just very nice. It's very nice.
Yeah, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for.
I mean, there was someone warned us before we moved here, like, are you sure you want to, like, come specifically here to Las Lajas? Like, there's nothing to do here. Like, you're going to get bored, blah, blah, remember?
Yeah.
The beach house guy said that, and we were like... No, like, that's fine. Like,
that's kind of what we're looking for.
We don't need, like, a bunch of entertainment, you know? So if you are looking for, like, entertainment and parties and all that kind of stuff, you're going to want to stay closer to David or Boquete. But that's why we're saying there is a lot of diversity here. You can get that here, or you can get the quiet, like, beach town or high mountain quiet town or whatever.
If you're a young guy or gal and want to live somewhere, you know, that has a vibrant nightlife, you can live in Boquete or David and have fun there.
Yeah, totally. Okay, well, let's hit up the last reason here.
The last one is it's got a very diverse culture amongst the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, for me specifically, it all goes back to the food. You can kind of get whatever you want here regarding food. You know, you got your local Panamanian plates from the Panamanians. And then we've eaten some beans that we've never heard of from the indigenous tribes that live by us. And then, you know, you got the Chinese influence with all the Chinese food restaurant. We went to a Chinese food restaurant in David and we're like, is this Turlock?
It's really good.
Yeah. It was really good, too.
Yeah.
So you got all the Chinese food, you know, Chinese influence. And then you got all this, like, weird, like, different gringo, foreigner, extranjero food taste. Because we have a lot of Germans. So there's, like, a lot of German places to eat, especially mm-hmm. in Boquete. You got your typical, oh, you want a burger? Well, we got Americans here that wanted burgers too. So we got burger joints. You know, there's Mexicans here that I'm slowly discovering. So there's plenty of Mexican joints to go to that have come out pretty good. And it's just because, you know, there is such a divide, you know, because a lot of people have retired here or have, you know, immigrated here. You know, there's just a lot of different diverse cultures that kind of like all mingle together, which I don't think, I mean, you'll get this in Panama City, the diversity, because it is a very busy city. But I think outside of Panama City, in Panama, I think it'd be very hard to find mm-hmm. that in Panama.
But some like very specific locations, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the fact that everyone moved here, just kind of.
Everyone moves where?
Here to Chiriqui.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right on that. Yeah. I mean, you've got, like he said, lots and lots of indigenous people. Because Chiriqui borders the whole...
Comarca.
So you have all of that influence. The Latino, I guess, Panamanian culture. And then you have the, like... gringo culture, which could be, you know,
gringo is German,
European, Canadian, American,
yeah. Anything that's not Latino, I guess.
Yeah, and then you've got your
Italians.
Yeah, all those.
I mean, I would have never thought that our favorite Italian place in the world is here in Las Lomas. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Especially the first couple months that we lived here.
It was pretty bleak.
We didn't know much about. But then we're like, oh, you guys need to try out Naturalmente. It's really good.
Try it. Oh, you haven't gone there yet? You have to try it.
Yeah, then we went. We're like, why don't we come here more often?
And then, it was confusing, too, with the pizza place.
Oh, yeah, because... Yeah. And that place is really good, too.
Yeah.
But, like, I would have never... I mean, thought that was going to be the case for us.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's just this Italian...
Yeah.
Couple that makes everything by hand. Like they do in Italy. Mm-hmm. Except in Panama.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously you can tell that we really love it here. And we're super glad. I mean, you know, at the very end when we were choosing properties, it came down to the one we bought. And then there was another one that wasn't a close second, but definitely like we liked that was in a completely different area of Panama. And... we both just knew, like, no, we have to stay here.
The second property had probably one of the best views.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it had this, like, hilltop, like, ocean, almost 360-degree views, but, like, most of it was ocean, and then the rest was, like, the mountains behind it. And that would have been the house site. Like, that would have been amazing. And, like, a creek, and it was kind of, like, the same size, and yeah. On the main road, close to, like, a kind of up-and-coming town.
But the biggest thing was we just didn't really like the province.
The area. The larger area, yeah.
We weren't in whole. I mean, it's a great place. We'll most likely definitely go back just to go visit and...
Yeah, yeah. But we thought, like, long-term, like... And, like, David was part of that, too. Like, having access to what's in David, having access to that airport. That was a big selling point for us.
Yeah. I mean, even just... the airport would have been out of the question. Either you drive 3 hours to David or you drive 4 hours to Panama City. Just yeah. Because you're like right in the middle of the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are the things that we really, you know, we thought about, you know, when we were looking at our properties is like where it's located.
And yeah, location.
What are the services?
Yeah. And like we wanted to be a little off the beaten path, but not so far that it was like, you know, we couldn't ever get anything.
Some of the stuff we mentioned we discovered after we bought the property. So it was like, oh man, I'm so glad we did it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, But like there was, we already saw enough that we're like, okay, the Chiriqui is the place to be. I think it's the best of both worlds, you know, where we can be like.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Secluded, but not like completely.
No, because we have, we're obviously young and we have children that we want to like have friends, and we didn't move here to be like hermits and.
On top of the mountain.
Yeah.
Overlooking the ocean.
Oh, yeah. Tole. Lajas de Tole.
Yeah.
Maybe one day when we're just alone, and then we want to be, when we're old, when yeah. we want to be hermits.
Yeah.
So all of this to say, if you are a young family and you want to buy a piece of land and start a little jungle farm, you should come visit Las Lajas. Come hang out with us. We're the only ones here that aren't, we're the only, English speakers that aren't like over the age of like 60.
Yeah.
Really? Here. Yeah.
Yep.
So come join us.
We're the youngest foreigners by a long shot.
By a long shot, yeah.
By a long shot.
That's why everybody like knows who we are.
Yeah. I mean, just the two younger, I mean, we could pass off as tourists going through town, but the fact that our three young blonde kids stick out so much.
Yeah, I think it's more about, like, us as a group.
Yeah.
Like, there's two, like, white, younger, not old, old folks with, like, three crazy little white boys.
Yeah.
One of them, I mean, they used to all have long blonde hair. Anyways, where are we going with that?
This was paid for by the Las Lajas investment to bring foreigners committee.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for this episode. That's it for season two. We're super excited for the next one to record from the dome and tell you all about what it's like to live in a home that has no right angles. I think our entire brains are just going to shift.
Yeah.
No right angles, no points.
Big right. It's finally done.
Big right is out. All right. Buenas noches.
See you guys later.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll see you next time on the Pana Familia podcast.